Podcast.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Episode 9.
Again.
The second 9, the reckoning, the second coming of 9. This is for Wolverine.
Yes, and we will introduce our guest again, because a lot of times we got the emails, hey, we listen to these out of order.
Yeah.
So,
and also, real quick, if you're new to this or you just stumbled across this, we're going to reveal all of the main details of the Wolverine, including the ending and all that stuff. So if you don't want to hear about that, don't listen. Our guest, Neil T. Weekly.
Why, hello there.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you, Chris.
For bringing your Mary Poppins voice to the show. Well, let's get right into it.
Wolverine. I'm a chimney sweep, I am.
Step in time.
Let's go right to the ending.
Oh, I'm a chimney sweep, I am.
That was the thing some of us had problems with. Let's start with Neil. What was your problem with the ending of the Wolverine?
Now, let's just start. What was your problem?
What's your problem in general? What the fuck are you doing?
What did you major malfunction? Yeah. My issues with it, not huge, but I mean, the lot of the villain characters, you know, were just underdeveloped.
Specifically?
Most of them, actually.
Most of them.
I would really say that.
So you wanted to know more
they were just like, they so were just, got- they almost, some of them almost just felt like obstacles to make fight Wolverine. You know, like there wasn't really enough. A lot of them motivation-wise, I didn't think. But, I mean, it wasn't a huge deal. You know, it wasn't an enormous problem.
Most of the focus was on Wolverine.
Right. So, I mean, that was really the important part anyway. And the end, you know, the last 15 minutes or so was...
CG heavy.
It was CG heavy and a little... It was like, you know, whereas the movie was really like a lot of drama. I mean, it was...
Yes.
And
not one uniform.
Right.
We're saying, like, you know, no one is in an X-Men uniform. I said, there's some fetish wear.
Yes, but, there's some fetish wear. And no one cares. I mean, fetish wear.
Yeah.
the old Yashida, who created
right.
He was the guy, that the soldier that he had saved, who now becomes this right. billionaire tech mm-hmm. giant. And you had Viper, basically, with the doctor who clearly was a mutant and had mutant abilities.
Right.
And she had sort of gone bad. So she was clearly like, they made her all of a sudden become sort of a supervillain.
Right.
And again, yeah. we didn't know much where she came from, what her deal
didn't really
was.
What exactly she was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, why was she really there, involved in it to begin with?
The guy, Shingen, who was, he was in love with the granddaughter, Mariko.
Yes.
He was on Viper's side. This has got a little confusing. He was on Viper's side and then realized...
He was on Viper's side because he was really doing the grandfather's bidding.
He was trying
to fulfill his wish. Yeah. Right. So in a way, he was like, he had to, and this is very Japanese, he felt like he had to honor that request, even though he felt it was a dishonorable request.
Right.
And then he was having second thoughts. But second thoughts a little too late into the process. especially if supposedly you love this person that, you know, you're supposed to be protecting. And this is where I agree it fell short a little bit, where, you know, let's see these motivations a little earlier, a little more in depth, and let's see why things are happening and where they're going. And here's the other thing too, is a lot of trying to kill your own.
Sorry, I had that wrong. Xing Zheng was the dad of the granddaughter,
okay.
who was played by Hiroyuki Sanada. Mm. Who I want to be clear on this. I love this actor because he was in The Last Samurai,
right?
And he was great in that. He played Ken Watanabe's like second in command, who was a real hard
right.
ass.
Mm-hmm.
But then you want to see his depth and range as an actor, watch him in The Twilight Samurai, where he plays this sort of quiet, shy...
Twilight Samurai is one of my favorite samurai movies.
It's he's so good in it. And it's like, you
Let me say, The Twilight Samurai is one of my favorite samurai movies with the word samurai in the title.
And Twilight.
Yes.
But he
really.
The thing that's so great about Twilight Samurai. Writes,
how many people are renting itself. That movie now for the wrong reasons?
I love talking about Twilight Samurai only because he plays this sort of like poor samurai who doesn't, he doesn't dress that well, and he's really shy and unbecoming and doesn't want to, like, guys challenge him to fights. And he's
a master fighter.
He's a master fighter, but he'll defeat them in a way that doesn't make them look bad because he doesn't want them to feel bad. Like, this actor is so gifted. And I, you know, again, Wolverine, he was this dad that then wanted his daughter dead.
Well, no, that's actually the point I was getting at, too, is that was some of the stuff that didn't quite resonate with me, is that there was a lot of killing your own family members in this movie.
Right.
And it wasn't just there, too. Even at the end, when she kills her grandfather and stabs him, like, twice in the head and neck, I'm like, well, wait, no. This is still kind of your family. I mean, when you like to see, like, with villains, too, is that no matter how horrible they are, they still kind of have that familial bond, you know, with their children, or sometimes with their parents. You know, make it a little harder at least to kill a family member. You know, it came way too easy. Like, well, they're in my way. I don't care if this is my daughter, or I don't care if this is my girl. They're just, you know, you have to die. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was the thing where and to be clear, Will Young Lee played Harada. Harada was the one that was still in love with the granddaughter, that was torn between carrying out the grandfather's wishes and defending Viper.
Right.
And then the woman he's still in love with. Yeah, I was sort of torn. Part of that, like I said in the regular episode, I was like, well, I can understand when this much money's involved. You know, I've seen families just fight over.
Sure.
I've seen families fight over $100,000.
But they don't bring in the Yakuza.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
Perhaps they
should. But so part of that I believe, but then it did, like you said, if you're going to do that, then I need so much more character development to tell me what is motivating this guy to want to kill his daughter and basically disobey his father.
Right.
You know, like, what if he's going to do that, then I need to hear why.
Right.
You know, and I want to know why Viper is doing this. And again,
yeah, like, there was no explanation as to why what part did she play? Why was she involved?
How did she,
you know, and it's like,
how did she become the doctor? You know, why did he hire the doctor? I mean, you just heard little quick things like the dad saying, "Oh, Grant, my father has a softness for you mutants." Like, he clearly hates mutants.
Right.
I want to know why. Right. Is it because you felt, because your dad always
pushed out?
Exactly.
Or something?
Is that it? Like, mm-hmm. Your dad always talked about this Logan guy, and so you felt like you were second fiddle or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, the ending, I mean,
and the groundwork was all there. It wasn't like anything came out of nowhere or was random. It was more that it was just underdeveloped.
Yeah, so that's felt like it was not.
Everything
enough.
Was in the right direction.
Yeah.
It just needed a little more.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I mean, like we're all in agreement, is it's, you
we're
know, the broad strokes.
Here.
Yeah, we're nitpicking. We all really like the movie. I mean,
really,
I love the movie,
things.
Too.
They're not huge things, although I mean, I've read.
God, those action scenes, you just start cheering. I mean, it's so.
Sorry, fighting that 10-foot robotic
samurai
thing, which I took a picture of because they had the one
at Comic-Con,
and I posted it on my fan page. That was awesome. And it had this crazy laser sword that could cut through anything or fire sword.
It was adamantium
suit. Yeah.
Heated adamantium sword. So it was the only thing
that could go through other adamantium.
Could actually fight Wolverine.
Right.
The only
and then
thing.
When the old man ended up being inside of it, and that was the thing where
you knew he was going to be inside.
You knew when the old man was like, I don't want to die, you could tell, like, oh, the old man's up to some shenanigans. When he ended up being inside the suit, I guess if I'm going to sit back here and nitpick, I was like, at the time, I was like, yeah, great, fight him. Mm-hmm. The old man's gone nuts. Like, cut off his head. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
But now,
like, I would have rather have seen that being a more tragic character. Like, why did they have to throw him in as a villain? Maybe he was dying and he offers Wolverine this offer, and then he necessarily, like, Wolverine turns it down and he does die, and then maybe Wolverine feels guilty or something like that. Or maybe there could have been a little more to be done with that than just, oh, well, if you're not going to give it to me, I'm going to take it.
That's the other thing, too. Like, you saved my life.
Yeah.
And so now, like, that's the other thing. They talk all about this honor and stuff in Japan, and then would he do that? You know what I mean? Wouldn't there be a? And I think, again, this goes back to what we were all saying, what you brought up. I would have loved to have seen a well written scene between the old man and Wolverine, and the old man kind of like look, you saved my life, so I'm indebted to you forever. I just want to live a little more. And maybe the Wolverine goes, hey, man.
It's not what you want.
You don't want this. You know what
Maybe
I mean?
Maybe make that guy more sympathetic.
Right.
More sympathetic. Yeah.
Because really at the end, when he, in that suit, he became...
A super villain.
He became like a madman. Yeah. And it was
that was a little like, come on.
You wanted to make it, if they made him more sympathetic, it would have added more drama.
You've already got like a crazy father. You've got a super villain with venom on her tongue. I mean, you don't need that much more.
Exactly. It would have been interesting had the old man had this like, oh man, I'm sorry. And they had this great moment with Logan when he died. And then the other people fighting it out, I get that. That made more sense to
they're
me.
They're fighting over a fortune.
They're fighting over $1 billion.
No, that's
a huge deal. Mm. And the Yakuza's involved. And I thought the Yakuza involved was interesting. The granddaughter who had no idea that she was named or why she was named.
And didn't want it.
She was named heir to the throne. Had no idea, didn't want it. She's like, whatever.
And her father wanted, he's the one who wanted it. Because it should have technically gone to him.
And that was a little confusing. Well, why did I get it? And then everyone's saying, your father wanted this and your father wanted that. And that was a little like, all right. So just that was where.
That just sounds like, why are you whining?
Yeah. I wanted it. And it just, again, goes back to the writing broke down a little bit. It was just like, oh, we'll just make everybody fight for the money and he's the bad guy.
I mean, even if my daughter gets it, wouldn't I still be rich? You know, it's not like she's going to cut me off. Right. You know, and now you don't have to run the company. Yeah. It's great. It's perfect.
I'll take that gig.
Yeah.
I'll just be nice to her.
So horrible. Yeah.
You're my favorite daughter.
Just give Daddy an island with a good surf break. Yeah, I'll be set.
Yeah, no problem.
So the ending, but by then we're already involved and it was so much fun.
Yeah. And again, these are not, like we said, they're not huge things. They're things that like one more pass on the script.
Let's get into this. So Wolverine has, the movie starts, he's given up. He doesn't want to be a superhero anymore. He's living in the woods. Everyone grows a beard and moves into the hills. I guess that's the only way to go off the grid.
Gillette doesn't exist once you get into the mountains.
You got to grow a beard and quit. So then, he has his whatever, his come to Jesus moment and realize this is who I am.
Yeah, when after he sees a cartoon bear in the woods.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I was confused.
About, I was waiting for him to take off his hat and say, don't do some forest fires.
It was really very confusing, that bear, because I wasn't sure if it was a guy in a suit. Like it was that weird. The CG was that weird.
I know.
It was off.
I like, I think that actually might be a practical effect.
I mean, put the bear in samurai armor at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that a practical effect? I'm not really sure. And I'm like, no, that's just a weird CG bear.
Yeah.
So I just let it go.
Yeah, that was
weird. I was just like, okay, whatever. I don't know what's going on with this bear, but never mind.
Yeah, like, only let's just get good, and then
let's just weird. Get past the bear.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just vexing.
No,
really,
it was. It was like you just and you were having such a good time. You just went,
what's going on with that bear?
Yeah. I just let this slide because this makes no goddamn sense at all.
And I will say for the spoiler ep too, it's the thing they got 100% right is the way they treated the character Wolverine.
Everything absolutely.
From Hugh Jackman's performance to the flashbacks and nightmares that he would have every single night about him killing Jean Grey and about how the character is like, well, this. Oh, how tragic this character truly is.
Yeah.
And I love they didn't make him out to be a superhero. He's, deep down, he has a moral code, but also he can kind of be an animal sometimes.
Yeah. He's a Wolverine.
He's a Wolverine,
He killed people without blinking an eye. You know what I mean? And that's who the Wolverine is.
Right.
I've got steel claws. I didn't ask for this. You motherfuckers want to mess with me? I'm going to kill you, and I'm not going to be like, ooh. Yeah. You know, which that's what I liked. Again, they gave him such detail.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And this is all classic from the comic books.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's the thing I liked about it. Yeah. It was who Wolverine was.
And you
was.
Get back to all these, all the great comic books that set him in Japan and the East and, just some great philosophical stuff that they would put in the comics. Like, he was on this one, I don't remember the name of the comic, but he was telling, one of the characters was telling Wolverine, a dead man learns nothing. How do you contribute to anything?
Yeah.
And it's really, all that stuff kind of came up in this movie. And it's really, really great. The thing I loved about it is they did not glorify this character at all.
Right.
And they just showed him as a flawed... character that just happens to have superpowers.
Yeah.
And how it, not showing how great it would be, is how miserable and horrible it would be. And ultimately that he overcomes and transcends everything that he's had to deal with, and that's what makes him, you know, heroic.
Right. And I love that then, you know, he's got this, you know, Japanese woman samurai who's sort of his bodyguard now. Although I will say this, her first scene, she's awesome. Comes in, kicks all these guys in the ass at the bar, and then when she has to fight the dad.
Oh, the dad, right.
She's not that great of a fighter against this guy. And I was like, that was like, why are you making her weak in this? Like, she's this badass fighter. And then she's kind of like, oh, there's a couple of scenes. She's like, well, gee, I don't know, where she's fighting the dad in the hospital.
Yeah.
And that was like, she's a badass. Make her a badass. Yeah,
and we've already seen her be a badass.
Yeah, we've seen her be a badass. So just, if you want it to be a difficult fight, then show how good he is. And they did this thing where she walks by and he's training and she's like, he's not that great.
Yeah,
so like, well, then do that.
That's a good point.
She thinks she's a better fighter than him, then she would go after him. Like, well, I know I can whoop this clown's ass.
Right.
Like, that was the only thing I found a little annoying. Now let's go to the ending. The very ending. He's on the private jet. And he clearly has... The granddaughter who's inherited the fortune, that she's in love with him.
Right.
And, you know, she kisses him goodbye. And I thought they did a really good job. She's now in like a businesswoman suit. She's in charge now.
Right. Yeah.
And she's carrying herself like...
The only thing that was missing was the Incredible Hulk music.
Yeah. The Bill Bixby music?
Yeah. Yes.
Him with a backpack, pulling up his collar.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, you know what? I've realized that I'm a soldier and I gotta go help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm gonna do. And then he gets on the private jet and, you know, his bodyguard says, all right. Where are we going? He's like, let's just go up. And I just thought, this is awesome, you know? And then, all right, so the button at the end.
And here's, before we say that, I do want to say, I like the fact that this button wasn't at the very end, so you don't have to sit through
all the credits. You get through the main cast credits,
and then you get your names, and then you get
the stinger, right?
So Magneto shows up,
and Professor X,
who was dead,
right?
There was a guy in the theater who went, "What?" and grabbed his head like that. And my nieces were like, "Wait, who's he?" Because they're too young to see all the other ones. I'm like, "Wow, Professor X, he created him. He started the school, and then he was dead." So, what do we think of this? I was excited because this movie was so good and so washed the bad taste of the last Wolverine movie out of my mouth. And I was like, "Okay, great, go for it."
Well, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of.
It's like, all set up because of the Avengers. That's all it is.
Oh,
it's
I know. Like, they all have to now.
Yeah, I mean, but it was all also like weird timing. Like, you know, it's after X-Men 3. But, I mean, you know, because it's weird the way it's like. Also, Professor X says to Wolverine, he goes, you know, don't look surprised. Remember, I told you, you're not the only one with these gifts. So it's like, didn't Wolverine, I mean, he clearly already knew that. I mean, why would you tell Wolverine that when this is supposedly after X-Men 3, where he's been a part of a bunch of people with mutant powers?
Right.
So why? That's a weird statement.
Maybe he was saying Professor X to say.
I just thought that was a little confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. I really, because we're at the point now where we don't want to see. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to see another classic X-Men movie. You don't. You want to see more X-Men First Class or something.
The ante's been upped.
Yeah. So you can't go back to where it was.
It looks like that's what they're doing, though. They're bringing back Magneto and Professor X. How are they going to do this and explain it?
Yeah.
And how are they going to make it compelling? Because we've already seen this before. And, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it's going. Well, they really have to up it.
Days of Future Past, it's based on, isn't it, a miniseries? Anyway, that
track
the time, and it shows them in present time and when they first started. So it's going to be time travel.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
That'll complicate matters.
Right, but I think this is what they're setting up. I mean,
they got to be careful here because they're really on a slippery, convoluted slope.
You can kill the golden goose at this point.
It is based on an existing miniseries. Right. So. I'm sure they'll.
So we'll see.
You know, and Bryan Singer's doing it. So, you know, at least the first two were at least at the time.
So I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's always a kind of roll of dice.
All right.
Real quick, basically what you were saying, Twilight Samurai, Netflix instant. You can get it right now.
Watch it right now.
It's in my queue. So
watch that and Last Samurai back to back to see that actor's range.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great. Yeah. Twilight Samurai.
And then watch Twilight, so then you'll really understand what a good movie looks like.
Shirtless wolves.
Yeah,
running around.
I just wanted to throw that in because you talked about Twilight Samurai, and it is available for Netflix.
Get it, so. Watch it, make it a part of your life, guys. Thank you so much for listening, Neil. Where can people find you on the internet?
The Twitterverse at Wickley, it's WYCHLEA, or at Film Nerd Neil on Twitter.
Outstanding. All my tour dates are at grahamelwood.com or comedyfilmers.com, and go to the Facebook fan page and like us.
And also our Twitter handle is at Comedy Film Nerds.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love doing the spoiler eps. Woo-hoo. We love that you love that we love it. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's close enough.
Sure.
Kitten hands.
we had to put two kitten hands.
That's right. We forgot.
And those new fans are like, what's the kitten hand thing? Yeah. Go to episode 20. And go back and listen. Oh. The first time Neil was ever on, and we talked about kitten's hands.
Graham invented it. It's all Graham's fault.
I haven't listened to it in a long time. I forget.
I did listen to it recently, and it's really funny.
Outstanding. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Neil T. Weekly.
Thank you.
I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Snicked.
Nerd.
Snicked.